Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you miss that opportunity, you can always join our live stream at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. If you miss all those, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship. Click on the weekly worship services or click on the children's messages or click on the weekly sermons. Our prayer is that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. Well, as always, I encourage you to put yourself in the story. And then put this story in you. God needs us to hear the story, know the story, and bring the story out into our broken world. We're to bring His glory and His light to be the gospel in a hurting world. That's our mission. Let us turn to the Lord Jesus in a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, You call us to be servants, yet many of us want to be served. Help us to love others the way You have loved us. We pray that our ears are open to the soft sound of Your sandaled feet and that our hearts understand what the Spirit is saying. As You taught Your disciples in the upper room, teach us. We come with open hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been in the upper room, and the title of this message is Betrayed, Troubled, and Glorified. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 13. We're going to pick up on verse 17, and we'll read up chapter 14. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it into the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. What you are about to do, do it quickly, Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus had said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out and it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And then in John 14:1, he says, Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Chapters 13 through 17, they're called the Upper Room Discourse or the Upper Room Teachings of Jesus. These chapters are the last teachings Jesus gives to his disciples and to us. Within 24 hours of the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus will be betrayed, beaten, spit upon, crucified, dead, and buried. In his commentary, John Calvin says, John's gospel shows us Christ's soul. Let me say that again. John's gospel shows us Christ's soul. Listen again to verse 13, chapter 13, verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I have often wondered what it was like that night, sitting around the table, watching Jesus move slowly around the table, washing each of the disciples' feet. Many scholars say that Jesus had invited Judas to sit on his left, while John, the one Jesus loved, sat on Jesus' right. In those days, there were no chairs. Men would sit on the floor around the table, lean to the left. If this is accurate, Jesus would have his head close to the chest of Judas. John would have his head close to the chest or heart of Jesus. Peter most likely was leaning on John's chest, and so they went around the table. Can you imagine Jesus just washing Judas's feet? I am sure that Jesus looked right into his eyes, right into the eyes of the one who would betray him as he was washing his betrayer's feet. What a picture. Put yourself into that story. What if you were one of the disciples? Well, what if we are Judas? During the time of the Reformation period in church history, it was common to speak of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ under what is called a threefold division, the prophet, the priest, and the king. The word prophet referred to Christ's role in speaking for God as God. It dealt with all the prophecies and revelations that Christ spoke while on earth. The word priest referred to Christ's role in giving himself as the perfect sacrifice for sin. The idea of Christ being our priest is also seen in Christ interceding for us with the Father, and king referred to his role both in heaven and in his church through the Holy Spirit. After washing the feet of the disciples, Jesus stood up and tells the disciples that they would be blessed if they would do what Jesus does. Then Jesus speaks a prophecy over them in verses 18, 19, and 20. Let me read it to you. He says, I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. Jesus quotes Psalm 41:9, which was written by David when Ahithophel, David's faithful counselor, betrayed David with David's son Absalom. The betrayal of Absalom and Ahithophel caught David by surprise. David prayed in 2 Samuel that Ahithophel's counsel to Absalom would be foolish, and it was. What is interesting is that Ahithophel went home after he betrayed David, and he hung himself. Boy, that sounds familiar here. The prophecy of Judas in the section of John 13 is spoken by Jesus to fulfill the scripture. With this prophecy of Jesus, we can find faith in Jesus because the prophecy will be fulfilled. We also can find faith in the scriptures, like in John 8:32, where he says, Jesus teaches, we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. The betrayal of Judas was a very cruel, painful, ruthless, and bitter thing for Jesus, just like when we're betrayed. Judas had been with Jesus for 3 years. Judas was in the inner circle. He had seen the blind given sight, the deaf hear, the lepers heal, the lame walk, and even the dead raised. Yet Jesus was not doing all of what Judas wanted. You have to put yourself in this story. In this culture, to break bread and sit at one's table was a sign of friendship and fellowship. It was an act of loyalty. When someone would share bread or eat at the table with another person, it was a pledge of friendship. It was a sign of loyalty. It's like saying, I'm with you, Jesus. Maybe a good so what question for us to pause and ponder is, have you been betrayed? In Jeannie Allen is a book that our women, bossy band of spiritual sisters, they're studying. Jeannie Allen in her book says, has anyone quit you lately? It might be hard to search your memory to find someone who betrayed you, but I bet none of us have to go very far to find someone who just up and quit us. They're one day, gone the next, no communication, no explanation, no discussion. They simply pick up their marbles, quit, and walk away. It's a painful thing to be rejected, quit, or betrayed. We call it ghosting today. I want you to know, Jesus was betrayed. He was rejected, and many people simply have quit on him. I know that in my life, there are many, many times in the ministry that I have been betrayed. My own family rejected me when I told them that I was leaving the family business to follow God's call to my life. My older brother told me that if I left the family business, I could never come back. My younger brother told me that I would making it hard on Dad's will or estate. The only thing my dad said to me that night when I decided to leave the family business is he said, I suppose you think your God's going to take care of you. I turned to my dad and I knew and told him, I said, I know my God will take care of me. My dad responded by saying, well, we'll see. That was in January of 94. And by June of that year, my dad had proceeded to fire me and tell me in very explicit terms to get out. In 2000, my mom died of alcoholism and cancer. My wife and I were out here at that time pastoring in another church. Later that year, my dad met another woman whose husband had also died of cancer. 3 years later, I married my dad. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and our prayer team would love to pray for you. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship and click on the prayer icon. Write your prayer. If you ever have a question or just need to have a prayer, you can always email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. My family rejected me when I went into the ministry. And then in 2000, I remarried my dad to my stepmom. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And my dad waited until he was 87 to accept him as Lord and Savior. I always tried to repair the relationship with my dad. I had a great relationship with him, but he willfully and intentionally disinherited his sons and all of his biological family because we were following Christ. That information still hurts, but I do know that my God will supply all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. I can find comfort in knowing Jesus was betrayed, and I can find comfort in knowing how humbly Jesus accepted being rejected, quit upon, and betrayed. I always tell people, if it got past the nail-scarred hands of Jesus, I can accept whatever has happened, and I can count on Christ to teach me his humility. Have you ever been betrayed? That's the question I'm asking. Have you ever been betrayed? I don't know all of you listening today, but I can almost guarantee you that most all of us have been betrayed. Has anyone ever rejected you? Certainly. Can you identify with someone quitting on you? Just simply walking away and leaving you? Being quit on and being betrayed hurts the heart. It is a bitter, angry, helpless, and hurtful feeling. I want you to know Jesus knows those feelings you have experienced. My wife, I call her Jacqueline, tells me that in their Bible study, it is said that we will hurt each other. Well, there's an old saying, remember, hurt people hurt people. Also, healed people heal people. Jesus will not hurt us. Jesus will not quit on us. Jesus will not reject us. The other night, a dear friend told me she had memorized Romans 8:1. Which is, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If we are in Christ, we are not condemned. Jesus nailed our guilt, our shame, our sins to the cross, and it is finished. There is no condemnation. In John 13:21, if we read a little bit further, it said, after he had said these things, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, A Greek word for troubled is terasso, which can be translated with words like agitated or perplexed, maybe jumbled up, frightened, disturbed, or troubled. Jesus knew that his time had come. Jesus knew that his destiny was the cross, and he knew the suffering and separation from his Father was coming. Judas's betrayal had been set in motion. It was only a matter of time. When Jesus went to the tomb after Lazarus had died and been buried for 4 days, and he was deeply moved, and he stood outside the tomb and wept, can you imagine being troubled, perplexed, agitated, and angry when someone betrays you? Jesus will use this very same verb in the opening of chapter 14 when he tells the disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled, terasso. Don't let your hearts be perplexed. Don't let your hearts be agitated. Don't let your hearts be jumbled up. Don't let your hearts be frightened. Don't let your hearts be disturbed. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. We will also read that Jesus was troubled to the point of sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane as he asked his Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. So I'll ask you, have you ever been troubled, perplexed, agitated? Jesus knows how you feel. Jesus will be with you. How did Jesus handle betrayal of a close friend? That's really the point of the story. Jesus told all the disciples that one would betray him. Now, the disciples were troubled and bewildered. They asked who it was. Jesus tells them that it's the one who he gives the bread to. It's the one who, after he dips it in the bread, dips it in the cup and gives the bread away. We miss the importance of this event unless we recognize how Jesus was honoring Judas even to the end. The seat at the Lord's left was a place of honor, and this was where Judas was. You have to know and remember that doing this act of breaking the bread and dipping the cup, the bread into the cup, was an honor. To receive it was to make a pledge of loyalty. Jesus knew that it was Judas who would betray him, and he said to Judas, what you are about to do, do quickly. At this, Judas understood. Judas left immediately, and John concludes by saying it was night. Light and darkness are important symbols in John's writing. In the earliest verses of the gospel, John tells us the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him was life, and that life was the light of all men. John 1:4. Then in the 8th and 9th chapters, Jesus is quoted saying, I am the light of the world. John 8:12. In the other gospel accounts of the crucifixion, during the time Jesus was on the cross, darkness came over the land from noontime till about 3. Luke 22:23-44. Each reference makes the point obvious. Darkness covers the earth. Jesus is the light. When Judas got up and left, some of the disciples wondered if he was going to go pay a bill. Judas was the treasurer of the group. To them, that was a natural thought. What I want to point out is that when we leave Christ's presence, we go into the darkness. Let me say that again. When we leave the presence of Christ, we leave the presence of the light. When we leave the presence of Christ, we go into the darkness, and not just the darkness of a physical night, but without Jesus, we enter into a spiritual darkness, which can mean separation from God, who Jesus is the light. When you are in the storm of your life, when you are in the fight of your fights, don't run away from Jesus. Run to the light. Pledge your loyalty to God. And stand strong in the armor of God. Get your Bible out and put a word of Scripture in your heart, like a helmet of salvation or the breastplate of right living or the belt of truth that will set you free. Put on the sandals of peace and advance into the good fight. Run from temptation and stand your godly ground. Put on your shield of faith, and hopefully your brothers and sisters in faith will be there and to stand with you. Pick up your sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Claim a verse. I always claim Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word glory is used 5 times in the next few verses of our reading. The Greek word for glory is doxa, D-O-X-A. We get the word doxology. Today, you know, we could sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus is glorified in the crucifixion But in his death, we have the single most important event in world history. Jesus is the Lamb of God who will forever and ever take away the sins of the world. Your sins, my sins, everyone who believes in him, he will take their sins away. The Passover lamb was sacrificed once and for all. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? There's no better days than today to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and have your sins forgiven. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. I wish we had more time to break this out, but I want to spend the little bit of time we have left on verses 34 and 35. He gives us a new command. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." A new command. Loving God and loving your neighbor were not new commands. Loving God and loving your neighbor were taught from the beginning of the history of the Jewish people. The Ten Commandments teach us, so do Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Even the teacher of the law comes to Jesus and asks him, "What's the greatest?" And Jesus says, "Greatest commandment," and he says, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, Matthew 22, 37 to 40. But did you catch what Jesus said? It hit me like a ton of bricks. Jesus says, "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." The Greek word for love in these verses is agapeo. This is the verb in the present active tense that means that the action of love never, ever, never stops. It never ends. Whoa, stop and think about that. When we stop loving others, we will always. We're stuck. What struck me this week was the word as. In the Greek, the word is a conjunction, and we can be translated as or just as or to the degree in as much. Wow, that's how we're to love. In his book, The Mark of a Christian, Francis Schaeffer lists two practical ways a Christian can manifest love. First, they can apologize and seek forgiveness from those that they have wronged. Second, they can use the practical way to demonstrate love, grant forgiveness. Wow. That's such a wonderful way to love. We're called to love. Thomas A. Kempis wrote a book called The Imitation of Christ. The imitation is a great word, but I like the word transformation. Transformation is an awesome word. Transformation happens when we look into the mirror of Jesus's loving heart and allow ourselves to be transformed by Christ's love. Our personal transformation will then transform our families, friends, coworkers, neighbors, church family, well, and it even transforms our enemies. How would our world be changed if we stopped all the issues that divide us? No longer Democrat or Republican, right wing or left wing, Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter, or no longer Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, Native Americans, African Americans, or Caucasian Americans, but we are all at one at the table of the Lord through the sacrificial love of Christ. Put yourself in the story. Now it's time put the story in our hearts and our minds and to bring us back. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Let us pray. Gracious Lord, help us to love one another. Help us to forgive as we have been forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless. Have a great week. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.